Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. Don't forget, you folks in the Green Bay area, families of children with cancer, tomorrow, 8:30 to 11, Nicolet National Bank, 111 North Washington, 111 North Washington Street, Green Bay. Stop by, say hi, say, bring something nice for the kids. We are going to get into Obamacare in the next hour, bunch of other things. Let's see. What do I want to do here? You know what? Let's do this now. Let's do this now, and we'll get to what we get to. By the way, in the next hour, we're going to give away one of Scott Walker's books, Unintimidated. And I think I came up with a semi-clever way to do it. I think Jason said, no, it's just clever. You'll enjoy it. Jason did pretty well. He did. I'm giving him crap, but he did pretty well. I want to start here. For years, I have been saying that per capita, in other words, the percentage per population. Everyone knows what per capita means, right? For example, the entire state of New York has more income probably than most other states. Well, California has probably more total income because it has more people. But the per capita income, how much does each person make? A very small population can have a lot of per capita income. Their total number won't look as good as a state big like California. For example, North Dakota, their per capita income has shot up like an oil well because of an oil well or two or 300. Because they can now tap into that shale oil. And the Bakken oil field has dramatically increased the income of North Dakota. North Dakota still has less than a million people, so their per total income isn't going to look as good as the bigger states, but it's per capita income. I believe the same thing is true about racism. I believe per capita there are more black racists than white racists. I have never said that there aren't white racists. There are. But as a percentage of population, I believe black racism is much more widespread within the black population than it is within the white population. My belief in the white population is that it's less than 10% of whites in America are rabidly racist. That is, that they hate people of color. I'm not denying they're there. But I think that's about 10%. I believe the number, and I don't have a number, but I believe the number is much, much, much higher in the black population. Yet recently, most of the stories continue to be about white racism. There was the story of the football team, I have it here somewhere, Lunenburg High School. I don't remember which state this is in. Lunenburg High School's remaining football games across all levels were canceled Monday. Well, how much can be left of a high school football season at this point? Not much, you would think. After racist graffiti was painted on the home of one of its players and amid allegations of a prior incident in a game against Worcester South High School, school district superintendent Loxie Joel Kalmus made the announcement canceling the annual Thanksgiving Day game with St. Bernard's of Fitchburg and forfeiting the remainder of the school's games. We have no tolerance for racism in any form. Here's what happened. Lunenburg's freshman team had been scheduled to play Friday before the foundation of the home of freshman player Isaac Phillips was spray-painted with a racial epithet. Knights don't need no N-words, the graffiti said. Lunenburg's mascot is the Knights. Now, you can argue whether that's an overreaction. They don't know who did it. I mean, look, I'm not saying that isn't a really bad thing. It's reprehensible, and it should not go unnoticed or not dealt with. I'm not suggesting that. And it should be dealt with harshly. But does it make sense to punish everybody? I don't think it does. And I'm not sure it accomplishes what they're trying to... That's not what I want to debate here. So there's all sorts of commentary on that and the use of the N-word. And Rush Limbaugh brought this up earlier in the week, how Charles Barkley says, look, the white man isn't going to take the N-word away from him. That the black community has taken ownership of the word and feel that it's wrong for whites to try to criticize them for you. No, we can use it. You can't. That's not what I want to debate either. Okay, you keep eliminating the race issues that you do want to discuss. What do you want to discuss and want us to weigh in on? Glad that you asked vicariously through me, even though I just made all that up. But I'm sure you're out there asking that. It is the latest evidence of black racism running rampant that is getting some media coverage. Jason, however, yesterday did not know about it. The game is called knockout. What is knockout? It's when a group, and so far the groups have been predominantly black, I believe they've all been black that I know of, target a white person. In New York, it's been a lot of Jewish white person. They target him. And one of their group, or gang, if you want to use that term, punches the guy with the goal of knocking him out. And then his thuggish friends video record it, and it's posted online. Depending on who you believe, this is a growing problem. New York seems to be the epicenter, but it has appeared in other countries. And reading about this after the show yesterday, I discovered that I think I know which incident they're referring to. They include Wisconsin. Remember the black kid saying white girl bleed a lot or whatever? They're including that one as a game of knockout. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It seems to have started in New York, and it's spreading to cities all around the country. You are hearing very, very, very little about this. And I want to give two examples of denial on this. One hypothetical, the other an actual case of denial that we have here. Here's the hypothetical denial. Imagine if the roles were reversed and a group of whites was going around targeting blacks and calling the game knockout. Just imagine that. Just imagine if the roles were reversed and there was this growing trend of roving bands of white young men attacking black men with the goal of knocking them out and video recording it and posting it online. Al and Jesse and the president, they would use it to deflect attention right now from Obamacare. That's what they would do. But they're not. Okay, that's hypothetical. And if you're a liberal out there listening, you say, well, you can't prove that. Well, you know it's true. But here is a real case of denial. This is a column called Modern Parenthood that appears on the website of the Christian Science Monitor. Lisa Suhey tries, and this was yesterday. She wrote this yesterday. She's trying to say that this is all virtually much ado about nothing. And she makes her argument. As the knockout game resurfaces in the news yet again, with teens randomly selecting adult victims to punch in the head and render unconscious in an ambush game, it's time to engage inner-city teens rather than give in to panic, vilifying them across the board. Here's an example of how an incident can be magnified beyond its real dimensions to stir panic, hate, and terror that is both long-lasting and widespread. The knockout king or knockout game has been playing out for more than a decade on streets in New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Chicago, St. Louis, and now Washington, D.C. in small numbers. But videos of the incidents have gone viral on the internet, creating the illusion these things happen more often than they do. There's no evidence supporting this is as huge viral number of attacks. She's saying it's not the number of attacks is in viral, just the video is. If the knockout game really exists, and it isn't just a media label that could fit many of the hundreds of thousands of random attacks on strangers, says Mike Males, senior researcher at the Center of Juvenile and criminal justice located in San Francisco. I've heard of incidents of this so-called knockout game dating back to 1996. It's not new. What's important to realize is this tiny knockout pattern is part of a stronger pattern of random violence against strangers in this country, adds Mr. Mayles. Two women were separately assaulted in Washington last week on November 14th and 15th. Police are calling both attacks simple assaults and have not indicated that they were related to the knockout game. Back in December 2011, the AP reported the game was expanding its territory and that attackers were both male and female teens, some attackers as young as age 12. She goes on to basically say, this is just made up. It's really not the big problem people are trying to make it to be. By making inner-city teens and their families part of the solution, rather than casting them as part of the problem, we can empower youths to take pride in their communities and contribute to the safety of their neighborhoods. Having spent the past 6 years engaging at-risk youth in their communities via teaching them and their families chess, creating unity, listen to this, creating unity in the community with mentors from the police department, the sheriff's office, and local university mentors, I can tell you this is the way to go. It doesn't have to be chess. Here in Norfolk, Virginia, we're starting a free Lego club at the local makerspace where people are donating old Lego sets, and volunteers are going to help kids from troubled families in the inner city build themselves into a broader community via technology and toys. The hope is that building together will build community. If the problem is that teens are randomly attacking strangers, then we need to introduce them to their neighbors and make them their friends. Good God, this woman lives in fantasy land. It is growing. There is no disputing that it is growing. In fact, if anything, it's a problem that had been hidden until the magnitude of it could be displayed online. Hang on. Sneeze. Sorry about that. I had a sneeze and it just did not want to come quickly. Oh, sorry about that. Excuse me. If anything has changed, it's that now this isn't hidden anymore because it can be seen on YouTube. And this type of person, writing that, no, you just have to reach out to them. If these were white racist attacks, would she have the same attitude? Well, if roving bands of young whites are really attacking blacks, then, you know, then we just have to reach out and talk to them. No, we would have the same conversation about how whites are predominantly racist. And I've said this for years. You allow black racism to go unchecked and it will grow. And it has. It is simply amazing how the media attempts to downplay this. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Joe from Green Bay. Joe, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Yeah, Jerry, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've been following the knockout game on WorldNet Daily on the internet for quite a while. A guy by the name of Colin Faraday has been publishing stories through WorldNet Daily, and his book, White Girl Bleed a Lot, was another example of that.
Okay, Joe,
and
don't plug his stuff. Just give us your point, okay? Give us your point. Go ahead.
Well, my point is, it's been going on, and it doesn't take a mob. For example, I'm convinced that Trayvon Martin was trying to do a solo job on the knockout game with the Zimmerman case. But anyway, that's my point. It's been around a lot. The mainstream media has been covering it.
Yeah, well, Joe, thanks a lot for the call.
Covering
up. I know what you mean. But that's exactly my point. Okay, I'm not saying it's new. And I do agree with the author from the Christian Science Monitor in that regard. Where I disagree is that it isn't growing. And this is exactly the type of thing that I have been talking about for years. That we pretend that racism only comes in one color, white, and that blacks can't possibly be capable of racism. In fact, you hear this from black community leadership all the time. Well, you can't be racist if you don't have the social power. Whites still yield all the levels of power, wield them. So that being the case, Blacks can't be racist. Well, the only power you need is to attack or kill one person at a time. And I don't believe that this is something that's just getting noticed more because it's, well, let me retract that. I think it's growing. But I think the other thing that it being being online, and who does that? Has their friends record this and post it? Being online is pointing out that it's bigger than we ever thought it was. That's the part she's missing. And that it is growing. And that the media doesn't want to touch it because they never want to report racism by blacks. Eileen and Nina. Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Jerry. This just reminds me. I just was listening to a victim in Columbia Heights, Washington, D.C. on 14th Street just last week, and she was just riding a bike on the bike lane. A group of young teenagers crossed in front of her and then knocked her. She didn't fall off her bike. But her comments were so disturbing because she said, what this shows is we need more programming for young adults.
It's exactly what the author of the Christian Science Monitor piece was saying, that, well, we have to reach out to these poor kids who are doing this.
Exactly. And I just keep thinking, I want, instead of programming for the children, I keep thinking it's the parenting we need to emphasize. We need to draw all our attempts to make parents want to have that impact on their children in a positive way. Do anything we can to support them by just saying, parent your children, know where they are, know what they do, go watch them in the evening, see what they're up to between, you know, 8 and 9, what's happening. You know, just be a visible presence, please, and make that their priority in their life. Let's just
Eileen, I gotta cut you off there. We're tight on time here. Appreciate it. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It reminds me of a joke I heard years ago. Two liberal sociologists are walking down the street, see a man beaten to a pulp. They walk over him and say, gee, whoever did this really needs our help. Except it's not a joke anymore. It's 9:53.
The Jerry Bader Show.